This is Wednesday evening, 7/19/23. Tonight we're going to look at partakers of Christ's sufferings. Let's turn to 1 Peter. Suffering is not something anybody likes. But we're going to kind of look at what the scripture has to say about it. All right, we're going to start with verse 1 there. You know what? I think I got it wrong. Let me look, 2 Peter. Is there a 2 Peter 5? No, there's not. It's 1 Peter 4. See it? I've already started. All right, let me write this, correct this. This is 1 Peter 4. Okay. All right. Starting verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Think of that. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever. Amen. You know what? Just a minute here. All right, well, let's keep going here. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Sufferings here is something undergone, hardship or pain, an emotion or influence or affliction. God wants to bring us into his glory, but that cannot come without a transition taking place. Think about that. This is where sufferings come in. We don't just suffer without glory coming into play. Look back over here. I read here. I think I'm still reading. Oh, goodness. Anyway, just a minute. Let me read through here again. All right, in verse 16 talks about rejoice, that you partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be glad with also with exceeding joy. So there's still another scripture that I don't have right down here that said that, and that's what that was the scripture that I had to begin this with.
Next verse 14 says the spirit of glory and of God rests upon them.
Well, maybe that's it. I just flat got the whole chapter wrong. Anyway, right here, God wants his glory. We don't have to just suffer without the glory coming into play. It's kind of like on the other side of the suffering is the glory. It's not just to suffer for suffer's sake, so that his glory can be displayed in us. Glory here means dignity or just glorious. Yeah. When we start out, our spirits are born again, change, but our flesh is not. A lot of people don't understand. I was listening today, if you've been listening to any of the hearings that are going on over the Biden stuff. And there's a young man that's a whistleblower, and I won't say his name, and he's a homosexual, but he's one of those that is wanting to do the right thing, even though his mind is not renewed. He said, I thank God for giving me strength to go through this process and all of the stuff he's gone through to do the right thing and to step. He was an IRS agent. And Hunter evidently has not paid his taxes, you know what I'm saying. So anyway, I thought, you know, there's a lot of people in the world today out there that they have some morality to them and they love God, but, you know, they either have not been born again or they've not gone through the renewing of the mind process. A lot of Christians never go through the renewing of the mind process. They don't understand that it's not, that's the beginning. That's not the end all. Yeah. All right. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I said, Lord, you know, applaud this young man wanting to do the right thing and thanking God that God's helped him through this. You know, it's evident that, you know, he needs his mind renewed. All right. This is 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we're going to be changed when that final time comes where God will complete the work, whatever's lacking. Okay? If we suffer, we are going to also partake of his glory. That's what this is all about, actually. All right, with that, go to 2 Corinthians 2:18. Well, there's not a 2 Corinthians 2:18. Oh, Lord. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians 2:18. I don't know where my mind's been today.
What does the verse say? What are you looking for?
We're going from glory to glory.
That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
What is the deal?
Wait a minute.
Yes. All right, 3:18.
Yeah. Chapter 4 is also over there, too.
Okay. Man, oh, man. Okay. 3:18. No, it's Second Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I've often wondered what that means, you know, beholding your face in a glass. Is that giving reference to the dome? God sits on the, right on top in the north. We're going from glory to glory, being transformed into His image. How do we do that? By the renewing of the mind. All right, instead of suffering to suffering, we go from glory to glory. This is the end goal. God must change us. We must allow Him to change us. Okay, now let's keep going. Romans 12. I want y'all to understand the process because it's been hard. It's been very painful. And if you don't understand, then you'll bail. When the fire gets real hot, if you don't have an understanding of this, it'd be easy to jump out. We've jumped out before, I have. All right, this is Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So God has given us grace to stand in this place, to go through this transformation process. Transform means here, right here, change or transfigure. I remember Joyce Meyer, she talked about watching a butterfly struggle in a cocoon trying to get out, and she helped it out. Well, she killed it. See, the butterfly had to go through the struggle. And you know, you see people struggling, a lot of times you want to help them out. Well, yeah, if the Lord tells you to, if the Lord leads you to, yeah. But sometimes it's just the struggle that they have to go through, that they have to learn to stand on their own. It's real easy, especially if they're younger in the Lord, to bail them out. We have to really be careful there not to bail them out. If God is trying to teach them something, I remember Don Palmer talking about there was this couple at church and they were always out of groceries and didn't have this and that, and he's always running to them and taking them stuff. And one day the Lord said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm taking them groceries." He said, "Yeah, and you keep getting in my way. I'm trying to teach them something, and every time they squawk, you're over there running and taking them stuff." They're never going to grow up. Especially when you got people around you that you see they're so needy. Always thinking, you know, you need to do something for them. You know, it's hard too when you know people that you know God has spoken to them about things, but they're not doing it. And they're wanting you to pray for them, that God will help them. But then if you say anything to them, they won't listen. Everyone has to go through the process. This is normal for a Christian to go through this process. It isn't just for the warriors, which I believe we all have to put on the armor of God. Every Christian is supposed to. Now, some may have, like apostolic teams, they may have a different kind of warfare they do, more intense, more widespread. But every Christian has their own warfare that they have to do. And nobody else can bail them out. Now, you can agree with people as best you can, but we cannot interfere with God and His process. All right. transformed here is also called metamorphose, which is what's transformed there. And that's what the butterfly goes through. You know, it's a caterpillar, and then it goes through the transition in the cocoon and becomes out a butterfly. And we see that the most beautiful butterflies are the ugliest old green nasty things. And look what they turn into. Yeah. All right, now go to Philippians 3. Hopefully I got the right chapter. All right, let me look here, make sure. Yeah, I got the right chapter. Philippians 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. If it could have been done, Paul could have done it if it was by the flesh. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, which being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lest therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. If somebody's gotten out of God's will, they're an enemy of the cross. That's scary. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. Now think about that. Everything you say, it says your conversation is in heaven. Huh?
Greek word means citizenship.
From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Well, regardless, whether it's citizenship or not, he hears it. We got an angel walking around with us recording things. God hears when you have conversations. And there is, where is that scripture? Do you know that where that is? It talks about a book of remembrance. And it writes down the people that sit around and talk about the Lord. Huh?
Malachi.
Malachi. Where is that? Let's look at that a minute.
Chapter 3.
Okay. All right, it's 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. I like that. Good stuff. All right. By following in his footsteps, our flesh is going to suffer. But we are being transformed into his image and will experience the glory. It's not just suffering with no glory. I think we can all agree by what Jesus went through that the cross is a place of suffering. Right? When he was here, he preached on this. He talked about this. We'll look at these couple of scriptures here. Actually, there's three. Matthew 10:38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. So many people we know, they're just doing what they think's best. They're, you know, that's what it says here. If you find your life, you lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Just the opposite of the world. Most people, you know, when they retire, they go down there, follow their grandkids somewhere, get them a place on the lake and fish and do their thing. And I'm not saying if God lets them do that and that's in God's plan for them, I guess it's okay. But I'm going, I don't ever see that. I just don't see that. Not for us, anyway. All right, Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And here Jesus, this is his thinking, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I don't need to read that. We're going to be rewarded for losing our life. Luke 9 also talks about that. Cross here means just self-denial. Self-denial. All right, Luke chapter 9, 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. He basically is what we just read in Matthew. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. I mean, aren't we supposed to be following Jesus, following his word, doing his word? And when we don't do his word, he takes it personal. If you're not following the word, you're not following Jesus. That's pretty strong, right? Lose it or gain it. All right, Matthew 19, go back. You know, when we think about how fast time is going by and how you look up and think, man, look, time has flown by so fast. It's just like a moment. But we're facing eternity. And you think about all the sufferings and all the things we've gone through, and this life is just a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. And we'll look back and we'll look at that and we'll say, yeah, we thought we were really going through it, and we were. And we were in the time frame we were in, but now there is no time frame. And that just, it's like, it was nothing compared to where we're going. All right, Matthew 19:27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all. See, some people didn't like what he had to say, and they were going to stop, and they weren't going to follow him anymore. Then answered Peter. I think this is a part. Well, maybe not, but anyway. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And we see that in the book of Revelation. They are. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. There's another passage that says, in this life. I didn't write that one down. All right. God gives us perks along the way. Look around you and see what he has blessed you with since you have taken up your cross. Kind of like, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. I tell you what, if you really started doing that, isn't that part of the glory? Yeah. The final state of that glory is a changed body that does not die. It'll never be sick. It'll never die. It'll never have anything missing or anything broken. Think about that. For forever and forever and forever, you can just be carefree and just enjoy the best of everything that you gave up in this life, this temporary, short time. See, that's how we get through it. You think about what's waiting us, not what we're going through, but what is waiting us because we have decided to follow Jesus. Give up what we thought was a good life to follow him and do what he required of us to do. All right. Can you see why Christians suffer? When you become born again, you're no longer a part of this world. You've been born into the kingdom of God. But that does not mean that you can just walk right in. It means you're going to have to go through a process to bring you up higher and higher to partake of the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God's in you. And as you renew this messed up mess up here, more of the kingdom of God comes through. The more, it's just like Paul and the snake. He had to go through a lot of processes and a lot of suffering, a lot of things to get to that place where he could do what he did. That's the glory of God. That's the kingdom of God right there. Jesus is going to reign in his glory, it says. All right. Why do they, the evil ones, want to take us out? Because we're fixing to leaven their kingdom. You talk about the leaven that leavens the whole lump. Well, we're fixing to reverse it on them, and we're going to leaven them to the place all will know the Lord. All will know the Lord. You won't ever have to even ask, do you know the Lord? All will know the Lord. Okay. All right. We're going to turn the table on him. And we'll be glad that we subjected ourselves to the sufferings of Christ to learn these things. All right. I hope you understand a little more. Last week the Lord spoke these words to me. Release before increase. Prepare for plenty. It fits right in right here. As you come up higher, as God works on your outer man, your will, mind, will, emotions, as you become transformed, you begin to come up higher and to progress. All right? It's hard for someone, a Christian, to understand, well, just to understand, period, what even the Word of God says without starting this process. All right. I believe suffering is part of the planting in the ground, and the glory is receiving that hundredfold that I just talked about in that scripture. Yeah. What you gave up in this life, that's the glory. We're not waiting to see the glory. We're walking in the glory, whether we realize it or not. This renewing process of your mind has brought you to a higher state of glory. We're not going from suffering to suffering. And we need to view it that way. Instead of suffering to suffering, glory to glory. It's not getting worse, it's getting better. There's a song, it's getting better and better, better every day. We don't just sing that, it's the truth. Okay. The glory outweighs the suffering. Okay, Hebrews 12. Wherefore, verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He didn't like it any better than you do. And sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, or not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forsaken the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. So what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? You know, Father's Day ought to be a day that we honor God above all other day. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know now that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are coming to Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of a sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's what's going on in you. Sometimes you feel shaken like somebody's just jerking you around like a rag doll. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. He's getting us ready, prepping us. That's what we're going through. All right, Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Suffereth means to crowd oneself into or to be seized. In other words, you're pushing yourself out of this, what we live in, into this kingdom. You have to do it forcibly. That's what it says. Uncomfortable. Are you uncomfortable? You're in the right place. All right, I'm going to read one other. Or this is Psalms 94. We'll be done. We're going from glory to glory. Remember that, not from suffering to suffering. And as we're going from glory to glory, what are we doing? We're being transformed into His image. All right, verse 11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. I'm looking forward to that. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. All right.